Welcome to episode number 32 of the Board Game OK podcast, recorded in optimal weather, Helsinki, Finland.
Optimal weather? It's like windy. Like it's so windy, I almost got thrown off my bike today.
I've been spending my time indoors today.
Okay.
It's been not so windy.
Okay, optimal weather it is until you go out of this office today.
I'm your co-host, Jonas, and with me is my co-host, Luis.
Hello, everyone.
The nominees for the 20th annual Golden Geek Awards have been announced, and today me and Luis will make our predictions for the winners. We will follow the same rules we had last year. When it's your turn, Luis, you pick a category for the awards, and then you pick your prediction for that category, basically predicting the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will pick my prediction from the games that you did not pick from.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's my turn, I'll pick a category, pick the winner, then you pick the winner after that. And so on, until we have predictions for all the categories. Well, we're not going to do all the categories. We're only going to do 12 categories. We will be skipping Best Board Game App, because we don't do apps.
No.
Best Print and Play, because we don't print and play. And we will skip Best Podcast, because we don't listen to podcasts.
No, it's because the best podcast is ours. And we have not even been nominated, so therefore we are rebelling against the category.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah, and the winner is whoever has the most winners predicted correctly. So it's just about like predicting the winners correctly, right? In case of a tie, we see who predicted the most runner-ups. There's going to be two runner-ups for each category. If we still tie, we share the victory. And last year we had a little bit of a wager for the winning or a reward for the winner. I won the last year's predictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a result, you had to play Tinner's Trail with me.
Yes, terrible experience.
I have a suggestion for this year's reward.
Okay.
And that would be kind of relating to this nomination for the Best Board Game Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We are not featured in the Board Game Geeks Index of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first step to even be nominated for the best podcast is to be featured in the index.
Yes.
So my suggestion is that whoever loses this year has to put that index up to date, or, you know, add us to the index.
And you have to play Hadrian's Wall with me.
Either way.
If you lose.
If I lose. Okay. If I win.
I don't know why I'm doing this to myself. Yeah. I don't particularly like Hadrian's Wall, but
It's also like older because we played the Anarchy together.
Yeah, though I don't really want to play again.
You still want to do the Hadrian's Wall?
Eh, it's just because I know that it's your comfort food, and then you have In fact, no, you have to play. Yes, thank you for correcting me. You have to play a Uwe Rosenberg game with me.
And if I win, you have to play Sidereal Confluence with me
or Cyclades. No?
No. If I win, I don't play Cyclades. If I win, I do not play Cyclades.
I won last time we played Sidereal Confluence, so sure, whatever. But okay, yes, that's actually a punishment.
Yeah, but the thing that I'm most looking forward to is, Luis, you having to do the work of going to Board Game Geek and submitting our podcast.
Yeah, figure that out. I don't even know.
Or am I feeling that confident about this year's winners? I'm not sure. Last year, I felt that I had the better strategy for picking the winners.
Mm.
This year, I'm afraid that you have learned your lessons and you're coming into this game with hunger for victory.
I am better prepared than last year for sure. I had already planned who I thought was going to be in most of the categories. Most of the people, and I already had planned, like, if Jonas chooses this one, this is going to be my second pick because it's like the better option. I have not played all the games, so this is not my opinion, just the feeling that I get from the community. And most of the, both my first and second pick were within the nominations. There was a few categories that I had no clue about, like War Game, and maybe I had no clue what's going to end up being a party game or considered a party game. And that was a bit surprising, and I had to kind of readjust a bit.
Oh, you had already made your picks even before the nominations were announced.
I had started, but then I discussed with you that, like, oh, this is really hard. I don't even know if this is actually going to be considered medium game or light game. I had an idea based on the previous year's nomination of, like, what was the range, which pretty much was, like, between 2.0 and 3.0. That was, like, medium. And everything below that was light, and everything above that was heavy. But I was like, still, I'm not sure if this is going to stand exactly. So in that sense, I was because we're not privy to that information. We're not part of the nomination committee. We cannot vote. Or can you vote already?
Yeah, you can. You can, like, the nominations are an open process. Yeah. Hey, actually, before we get to this further, let's talk about the Golden Geek Awards. What are they? Organized by BoardGameGeek.com. Community votes for the best board games of the year or the previous year. What does it mean that it's the previous year? I think it has to be US release last year. Mm-hmm. It's not enough if it was just available in Europe, I think.
Yeah.
And the nominations are collected through community suggestions, community nominations.
Yeah, but I think in order to, I thought that in order to nominate, you had to have some sort of certification. Like, you had to have a certain number of geek credits, or you had to have a validation.
It's geek gold, Louis.
Okay,
it's
geek
not,
gold.
It's not credits, Mom. It's geek gold.
I thought, like, when I tried to click on it, there was like three buttons, and they were like, okay, I'm not even going to click on this because I'm probably not eligible. Like, there was some threshold there that maybe if I had clicked any of those buttons, I would have realized, like, oh, I can do it. But I thought it was like, okay, you really have to be active in this community.
Yeah, I opened the nominations to kind of put in my nomination. So I was able to get in, and I probably would have been able to submit. The reason why I didn't submit was that even in the first category, just seeing a huge list of games.
Yeah.
And I just went, no.
Too much.
Too much work.
Yeah.
Let the other people nominate. I'll criticize the nominations later.
Okay.
So I'm happy to criticize the nominations others have made, but...
Yeah, so, well, I thought I had no access to or was not privy to that information, so I didn't know what was considered heavy because, or what was considered medium or what was considered light, because at least in the instructions, it said that there will be a description of what is what and filters and stuff. So I was like, okay, had I been privy or had I noticed that I was privy, but I just didn't know, then I would have realized what is what and maybe would have been a bit easier. But anyway, we agreed with Jonas to wait until the nominations were out so at least we would have a defined set of picks to choose from instead of an infinite amount of games. Well, not infinite, but thousands upon thousands.
Yeah, we jumped straight into this discussion about trying to pick the winners from the non-nominees without explaining what happened.
Yeah.
The one point of excitement with this draft is, well, who of us is going to win it? The second point of excitement is Board Game Geek schedules and timetables and when do they promise the things to be out. Last year, we had to reschedule, I think, our episode where we went through the winners because the winners were not announced when they were supposed to be announced.
Yeah.
And this year, the initial nominee post hinted that the nominations are going to be out on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They were not out on Monday. We were supposed to record on Monday. We are now recording on Wednesday, April 22nd. So we were thinking whether we should still record on Monday and just try to guess what games could be nominated, which are eligible for a category, would have made it much harder. And, you know, we could not have commented on the other nominations either. So we waited, and now we have the full list of nominations, and we have much higher chances of actually getting some of these nominees right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Louis, what do the Golden Geek Awards mean to you?
Honestly, not much. I think Golden Geek Awards, at least from last year's, always tend to default to what is highest on the ranking of Board Game Geek, which is already where I get my information about, like, okay, which games do I like to play? Which games are people playing? Which not always correlates to which games do I like the most. It's just like which games are people voting the most in the community or which games are hyped or in the hotness or whatever. So in that sense, I find it interesting, and it's like, I think the most exciting part is recording this podcast and trying to win this draft. Other than that, it just doesn't give me more information that maybe I already had. Besides, they're like, oh, this is what people voted for. But I already kind of knew about these games from other content that I consume.
Yeah, I feel the same.
Yeah.
I don't really care which games win these Golden Geeks. It does really feel like a popularity contest.
Yeah.
However, when I was reviewing last year's winners to kind of see that, okay, what is the kind of decision criteria people might have for picking
the winners? So you were preparing.
I was preparing, yes. I was surprised to kind of see, or of course I knew this last year, but I had forgotten that the best co-op game of last year was Lord of the Rings, the trick-taking game.
Yes.
And not Slay the Spire, which I had picked. Slay the Spire is on rank 17 right now. The Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring trick-taking game is on rank 158. So not unknown, but yeah, considerably less popular. And you know what? That gave me a little bit of hope that these awards are not just about popularity. Having said that, I think these awards lack this kind of like a critiques perspective or a more curated selection of winners.
Yeah.
My favorite year of Golden Geek winners was the year of Wingspan, where Wingspan won multiple different categories, even categories where it should not have been necessarily like eligible. It was a very popular game that year.
Yeah, and then everybody just voted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel like there's, it's just a popularity contest and people are just voting. It does feel like there's a lack of critical thinking about like, okay, is this really a good cooperative game or should this actually win only the solo gaming, like the solo award or the two player or the heavy or the medium? I think it's just a little bit random in that sense as well.
Yeah, but in addition to Spiel des Jahres, this is the other big award, board game award of the year, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple other ones, but no one remembers those things or cares.
No, only if they're in the box of the board game, like you see the Astio or.
Yeah, and Spiel des Jahres, also, there's plenty of criticism for the picks every year. Yeah. So neither of these awards are perfect, but these are the main awards of the hobby.
Yes.
So last year, I got 6 picks right. You, Luis, got 2 picks right. Mm-hmm. How confident are you feeling about your chances for outdoing your score from last year?
I'm pretty confident.
Okay. I'm feeling not so confident of outdoing my score. I feel like I will score not as well as last year. This year, the picks felt harder to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since I won last year, as a sign of sportsmanship, I'm going to suggest that you, Luis, get to start the picks.
No, this is so hard. I want to choose every category because I don't want you to choose any category first.
Yeah. Hey, let's go quickly through the categories that we're going to be picking from.
Yeah.
So we have two-player game, artwork and presentation, cooperative game, expansion, innovative, light game of the year, medium game of the year, heavy game of the year, party game, solo game, thematic game, and war game.
All right. I think I'm ready.
So pick your category.
I'm going to start with cooperative game.
Okay.
Cooperative game has the following games to pick from. Aridia, the Pats with their Tread, Corpse of Discovery, blah, 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 blah. There's a bunch of stuff after the colon. The Elder Scrolls, blah, 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 blah. Eternal Dex, The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship, Nemesis Retaliation, Regicide Legacy, Take Time, Unmatched Adventures Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Vantage. So from those, I think, based on last year's pick and based on the hype of this game, The Lord of the Rings Fate of the Fellowship is the game that I'm choosing for my pick to win cooperative game.
Now, why did you pick that game?
Why did I pick that game? Because first is the highest ranked game right now in Board Game Geek out of all the games that are available from 2025. Second, I think is the one that has the most plays and the most votes. And I'm already telling you the strategy. But I think Lord of the Rings popularity contest, Lord of the Rings will win, I don't know, 8 out of 10 times in board games.
Yeah, I would have snatched that absolutely from here.
Oh.
And from the ones that I'm left with, I'm considering between Eternal Dex and Vantage. Eternal Dex has not had good supply, meaning not a lot of people have gotten to play Eternal Dex. Vantage has had great supply.
Mm-hmm.
Other people like Vantage.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, yeah, I'm sure they're fine. It's just not something that I hear people clamoring about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Regicide Legacy, I know people are happy about with that one. But again, I don't know how many people are playing Regicide Legacy. Because of this, I'm going to go for Vantage.
Oh, okay.
So your pick, The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship, my pick, Vantage.
Yeah, and I think I that's the second one. That's the one I would have picked as well, if you want me to comment on your pick. I think that was a great pick for second.
Yeah, but second place in this category doesn't feel that good.
Yeah.
Now, hey, which game do you think should get the victory in this cooperative game?
Honestly, I think I haven't played the Lord of the Rings, and I hear that people have liked it a lot, or some people have like bounced hard from this game that they haven't liked it. I really like Pandemic. I have never played other than Pandemic Legacy and Pandemic.
And this is like heavily based on Pandemic.
Yeah, it's like the Pandemic system or whatever it's called. I think a lot of people disagree with that. They say that it does not feel like Pandemic. So it feels too heavy, too busy and stuff. Yet other people say like, yeah, this is like playing the movie and you're moving some things around. It feels great. So from all of those games, I think this is probably the one that deserves it, but I haven't played it. And I haven't played many of the other games in this category either.
I haven't played any of the games in this category. I played Base Regicide. That's as close I get to any of these games. Oh yeah, and I played Pandemic.
That is true. I have not played anything either.
So here I feel very not equipped to comment at all which game should win it. Yeah. I'm going to go for the category of War Game.
Yeah.
In a war game, our nominations are Battlefields of the Napoleonic Wars, China's War, 1937 to 1941, Conquest of Vienna, Cross Bronx Expressway, Fields of Fire, Deluxe Edition, General Order Sengoku Jidai, Seljuk, Byzantium Besieged, 1068 to 1071, Star Wars Battle of Hoth, Toy Battle, and a very civil whist. And my pick for the war game of 2025 is Toy Battle.
Oof. Yes.
Oh, what? Because you were huffing and puffing here as I picked a category. So I thought we were both running for Toy Battle here.
No, Toy Battle was my second pick. That's what I would have picked had you not picked my pick, which is Star Wars Battle of Hoth.
Yeah, so Star Wars Battle of Hoth, when it was announced, it felt that there was a lot of excitement around it. But then I just haven't seen that excitement manifest now that the game is out.
But I think popularity contest, if you're not choosing Lord of the Rings in board games, you're choosing Star Wars, first of all. Second of all, it's based on Memoir 44, like game mechanics. People have praised the game mechanics quite a lot. So I feel people that don't know about war games and are voting, they might sway towards Star Wars just because of the name or because of Memoirs 44. And people that have played Memoir 44 might have, or that like war games might still be like, hey, this is a solid game. This I picked mostly also basing on last year's decisions. It's like last year, the winners of war game was, do you remember? I think it was
Arcs,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was A Jest of Robin Hood, which is a coin two-player game, I think. And then Dune War for Arrakis. And all of the other, quote-unquote, actual war games or more heavy war games were completely ignored. So I'm like, okay, maybe again, these are not real war gamers voting. These are board gamers voting for war games. And in that sense, I felt that, yes, Toy Battle was a really good, you might win this one. But I feel that maybe Star Wars have a little bit more of both worlds. And then I hope to be able to get that one.
Yeah, war game category is fun because war game means, for many people, something specific.
Yeah.
Meaning that it has to come from TMT.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have to come from TMT, but it's a TMT game about the Napoleonic Wars, for example.
Yeah.
The highly historic, complex rules played by war gamers.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, that's a war game.
Yes.
But no, that's a historic war game. This is war games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Toy Battle. Well, there's war in Toy Battle.
Yeah.
So what it takes 5 minutes? So what that it's toys fighting? So what that it's kind of, I don't know, more like a line battler or whatever?
Yeah.
I picked Toy Battle because it is a board game arena favorite of many people. Has gotten so many plays. So first of all, super popular.
Yes.
Second, I think war gamers in general are one of the most least liked part of the hobbyists. I think your stereotype of a war gamer is some angry person telling others that, no, don't say that's a war game. That's not a war game. That is, Toy Battle is not a war game.
Yeah.
And there are so many people that are just kind of like happy to finally show that war gamer that, you know what? I'm going to put Toy Battle on number one. And it's going to be the best war game of 2025.
Well, they already showed it last year with putting Arx as a war game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, yeah, I mean, you might be right. I think Toy Battle, the problem is that what you said, it's like a 5-minute game or a 10-minute game. It's too small. And maybe some people will be like, yeah, it's not really a war game. But let's see.
Yeah, but I was very happy when I saw Toy Battle being nominated in the war game. It's one of these like surprise nominations. Well, after that, I thought that, well, you know, why not? It's a war game, right? Okay, which game should win it for real, though, this category?
I think Toy Battle is the only game from those that I've played.
I play General Order, Sengoku Jidai, and Toy Battle. I have Cross Prongs Expressway pre-ordered.
Yeah, you mentioned. Coming.
Yeah. There's just, you know, there's another pre-order in that order, and that pre-order is blocking Cross Prongs Expressway coming to me. I cannot comment at all here which game should win the category.
I mean, honestly, I do feel Star Wars, if it's a good, like if I haven't played but Memoir 44, but if it plays like Memoir 44 and if it plays like people say that it's quite enjoyable, I say, why not? Maybe this should win the war.
Yeah, but then it kind of feels that, well, Memoir 44 won in 2025, or the best war game of 2025. Now there's like a new theme, new lick of paint.
No, but I think some mechanics, it's based on.
Some.
But, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's maybe not discuss the differences between Star Wars Battle of Hoth and Memoir 44 when we have not played either.
Yeah. If Toy Battle ends up winning, I think it's going to be very fun, not only because I predicted it to be the winner, but because of the absolute rage that it will probably cause. If it does not end up winning, I think it's also perfectly fine. So our picks for War Game, me, Toy Battle, you, Louis, Star Wars Battle of Hoth.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Many, many hard choices because, as I said, I don't want you to take these categories away, but I need to select the one where I'm most uncertain about my second choice. I think instead of the one where I'm most certain about my first choice. So I will go with artwork and presentation. The nominees for artwork and presentation are Aridia, the Paths with Their Tread, Eternal Dex, Galactic Cruise, Hot Streak, The Lord of the Rings Fate of the Fellowship, Luthier, Magical Athlete, The Old King's Crown, Speakeasy, and Vantage. And my pick for the winner of this category is The Old King's Crown.
Yeah, The Old King's Crown. I think you made a bad choice there. The Old King's Crown was my first pick. Like, the first time I made my picks, I picked The Old King's Crown. Then I looked at previous year winner, The Unconscious Mind.
Unconscious Mind. Yeah.
And then I got reminded that, oh, no. People don't want new artwork and presentation. People want Vincent to trade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, as my pick, I am picking Luthier has artwork and presentation, has a lot of fancy components, I've heard, has plenty of Vincent Dutray art.
Yeah, I think you're wrong there. I feel the Old King's Crown should win. Now that we're talking about like who I think should win, I think the artwork and presentation has been lauded. I do agree that sometimes people go to the renowned artists and then they default to that. I think the beauty of Unconscious Mind was that actually the artwork and presentation combined Vincent Dutray art with the, I don't remember the other artist's art, but it was like a combination of...
Yeah, Bosley.
Yeah, if you say so, I don't know. I'm just, yeah.
I can't remember Bosley's first name, but...
But it was like, it was, the whole thing came together quite nicely to provide like a really good like mix. I don't think Luthier has that. I think Luthier has classic Vincent Dutray. And to be honest, my second choice was The Lord of the Rings because it's The Lord of the Rings. It has the, like nice plastic figurines, but at the same time, the, what's it called? 3D printed, not 3D printed. The meeples have some printed.
Silk printing? What is it? You know, when you put a little
silk
bit of...
Silk screen or something like that, yeah.
You put some highlights on
yeah,
the
Yeah, so
meeple.
I think like the and the cards are nice and everything. So I thought that was going to be the second choice because the board does look impressive on the table. So I feel that has a chance of winning. But I think the old King's Crown, with everything that has been said about the cards and the artist being the same as the designer, might make people like vote for a newcomer just to support it, you know?
Yeah, that is true. Although with the old King's Crown, the risk you have there is that, again, availability has been poor. So not a lot of people have just seen the thing. They have just seen the box cover in a digital format.
Yeah.
And Unconscious Mind, Andrew Bosley was, by the way, the other artist. Mm. So this combination of Andrew Bosley art and Vincent Detroit art, yeah, that is kind of like a strong combination and like an audience favorite. And yeah, I'm not feeling at all as confident with Luthier than I would have picking Unconscious Mind last year, which I also didn't pick. You picked Unconscious Mind last year.
Yeah.
Now, if I think about the games that I think should win, the old King's Crown, I have not seen what the cards look like exactly. The art is not exactly to my liking.
Mm.
But since the game is designed and illustrated by the same person, it just feels like a effort that deserves kind of appraisal. Because I think there's just something completely amazing when, you know, when the design and the art come together. But like the board game design and the board game art, when they come together, when they come from the same hand, you have this dialogue between those two elements. That's not possible if one person does the game design and then the art gets commissioned by someone else with some kind of, you know, prompt of like, hey, we need these kind of drawings and those kind of drawings.
Yeah. Yeah, and to be honest, I have seen like the cards just because I've seen a lot of reviews about it, and I've seen like the Board Game Geek page, so I've seen how it looks. Of course, I haven't seen it in person, but all of that still, like the tokens, the cards, the everything that you have, the boards, the personal boards, looks quite impressive. And I think, again, if people consume board game media like I do, which they might not at all, then I think they might have enough information to go by with that to agree that, like, okay, yeah, the old King's Crown, even though they haven't played it, has looked amazing, looks amazing. And yeah, it's just a good artwork and presentation winner.
Yeah. The other favorite here for myself is Magical Athlete for artwork and presentation. Magical Athlete, well, I think any kind of a new version would have been better than the old version. But Magical Athlete really feels like, what is it, like Chutes and Ladders?
Yeah.
What do the people play in United Kingdom when they roll the die and move up the ladders and go down the snakes? Magical Athlete does feel like that game. And because of that, this art that's now, you know, has this 70s, 60s hippie vibe to it really fits to the game. Because you get this feeling that, hey, this could have been maybe like a game that you would have played in your childhood or something that you will find in your grandma's or your parents' old game collections or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think just it doesn't have enough oomph, that art. I think it's nice, but it doesn't have enough oomph to convince the geeks of Board Game Geek to vote for it.
I did
like it though. And I thought maybe. But I don't think it has the power to even be a runner-up, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, I think it's a bit divisive. I think there's plenty of people who think, no, this is not good art.
Yeah.
Like, this banana is drawn badly.
Yeah.
This is not what a banana looks like.
Yeah.
There's a banana on the cover.
And to be honest, it might be that the old King's Crown, the art puts people off and like, this is not good art. But I think hopefully even people that don't like the art agree that the presentation, the tokens, the meeples look quite good. But, yeah. Who knows?
So, artwork and presentation. Louis, your pick is The Old King's Crown. My pick is Luthier.
Yes.
And then it's my turn
to
choose a category. Yeah. I'm going to go for the heavy game of the year. Our nominees are Ada's Dream, Aridia, the Fats with their Dread, The Elder Scrolls, Betrayal of the Second Era, Galactic Cruise, Luthier, Molly House, The Old King's Crown, Speakeasy, Star Trek, Captain's Chair, and Sweet Lands. My pick is Galactic Cruz.
No. Okay. You have now taken the pick that I wanted to take. Maybe I should have chosen.
The Galactic Cruise. It's in the BGG top 100, I think. Mm-hmm. Or if not...
126.
126. Almost there.
Yeah.
So I think from these games, it might be the highest ranked on BGG. It's been out now from, is it like the beginning of 2025? There's plenty of time for people to have been playing it. It's on Board Game Arena. People have gotten to experience it there. And many people who have played it are happy with it. People who do not necessarily like these types of Euro efficiency puzzles, some of them say like, yeah, this one's pretty good.
All right, you have taken my pick. This is one of the few categories where I was not sure what the second pick should be. Since you have picked, I'm going to tell you out loud what I'm thinking. I think that Sweetlands has been praised quite a lot. And I think if this had been out for longer and more available, it would for sure be my second pick or even my first pick. No questions asked. But I don't think it has been available enough. However, my question is like, has it been mentioned enough? Has it been like in the hotness enough for people to, you know, forego the I have actually played and just vote based on the hotness of it? That's what I'm thinking, like, because I think it's quite hot in the heavy contention. If we talk just about like the knowledge about the game and the wanting to play the game. But again, I don't think enough people have played it.
Yeah, just to put a number on that hotness of Sweetlands. Its BGG rank is 1397. So not even in the top 1,000.
No, but like I think in the conversation, again, because it just hasn't been played enough and therefore it hasn't been voted enough. But in the conversation, the actual hotness of like what games are talked about, I think it's like been, let me just double check.
Well, I wish you would pick Sweetlands. I would be very happy for you to make that pick.
Yeah, well, it's even not now here. But I remember seeing it there quite like...
Yeah, so as a data point for you, Luis has at some point remembered seeing some conversation about Sweetlands.
No, it was like for a while it was in the hotness. So I like, now I can like, oh well, now I'm sounding like a fool, like I always do, I guess. But yeah, so then my pick is going to be Speakeasy.
Yeah.
I think Speakeasy is the one that I feel it has a bit of a... chance of getting into the runner-ups, if not the winner. I think it's the game that is, after Galactic Cruise, the best ranked of these heavy games. And, well, it's a Vita Lacerda game. Unfortunately, this is not backed by last year. Last year, there was a Vita Lacerda game in the contention, and it wasn't even in the runner-ups. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's a competition as high as last year against Speakeasy. Does that make sense?
Are you saying that Speakeasy has a better chance?
I think Speakeasy has a better chance as being a Vita Lacerda game this year than Vita Lacerda's game last year, which was Innovation.
Yeah, or like if Speakeasy would have come out last year, we would not have picked it for the runner-ups.
But probably not, because this year, I don't think there's that big games that are going to be mentioned there. Yeah. But what do I know?
So you picked Speakeasy.
Yes.
I think the big problem with Vita Lacerda is that he is releasing too many games now.
Yep.
There's one every year. These are big games. People are getting enough of backlog with the Vita Lacerda games. Yeah. Even the Vita Lacerda fans are saying like, hey, chill out, man. Like, let me play these games. Let me find people who I can play these games with.
Yeah.
Have a 5-year break. Then come out with Speakeasy and then capture the hobby and win that heavy game of the year.
Yeah. I mean, this might be a bad pick. Like, there's the old King's Crown. And again, with the hype, it might win. There's, I think, Luthier, which also has been mentioned, but it's 302 currently in Board Game Geek ranking. It has some of the most votes, I think, some of the most plays following Galactic Cruise. Galactic Cruise was for sure the obvious first pick. But, well, let's see.
Did you not even consider the Elder Scrolls?
I did not even consider the Elder Scrolls.
It also has a high rank.
It has a high rank. I thought about it, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Now, which game should win Heavy Game of the Year?
I have not played Galactic Cruise. I think Molly House is a super nice game. Have you played many of these games?
So I have, starting from the top, I have demoed Ada Stream. I had no idea what happened in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a whole fever dream, the whole game. Galactic Cruise I have played on BGA. I think it's pretty fine.
Okay.
You know, so because of that, I'm not happy seeing it as the heavy game of the year. It just feels like...
It's fine.
It's fine. Don't make this the heavy game of the year, you know? Luthier, I have not played. Molly House, this is the game I would really want to be the heavy game of the year, although I don't think there's any chance for it to be that game. Way too divisive in terms of mechanics, also way too divisive in terms of theme.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, a lot of review bombing with ones with Molly House, just because of the theme. Then, yeah, that's the only game. Those are the only games I have played or had any interaction with.
Yeah, and Sweetlands, I'm really looking forward to play that game, but it's a 4.14 out of 5 in weight category.
Yeesh.
So it feels like super heavy, but people are saying good things about it. So
yeah, so that was heavy game of the year. My pick, Galactic Cruise, and Lewis's pick, Speakeasy.
Yeah, moving on to, I think I'm going to choose two-player game.
Are you sure?
No, but I'm not sure about anything in this one. I'm going to choose two-player game. I was certain about my choices before the nominations came out. Then I saw the nominations. Then I saw the rankings. And then I became very uncertain. However, I'm going to still go with my guts here. And I'm going to choose Tag Team as my pick for two-player game to win the Golden Geek.
Are you locking that in?
Locking in.
You are trusting your heart too much. I think Tag Team is the game that should win the two-player game category. I just think that Toy Battle is going to take it. And therefore,
think so?
I think so. It's so much more popular on BGA, the Toy Battle. The Tag Team, it doesn't work as well on BGA. And I think that's where most of the people get, you know.
Do you think this is where most people are getting their votes?
I don't know if it's where the most people are getting their votes, but I think if you have... What am I trying to say here? Also, without revealing too much of my strategy for the rest of the picks. Okay, Tag Team, it's popular on Board Game Arena. It's not a super great experience on Board Game Arena. Mm-hmm. If you play it in real life, you will have a great time. But if you play it on BGA, you might kind of miss out on the fun.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Battle, it's so easy to get into. It's one of those Board Game Arena games where you do the tutorial in 30 seconds or whatnot. Well, it doesn't take 30 seconds, but you just immediately understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. You can play those games in 5 minutes. You know exactly what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I hope people have more sense than that.
They don't. They don't.
And actually, before I did my research, I thought Toy Battle was my second pick. So I went with like, okay, I'm going to trust my guts. However, there is one that is actually ranked higher and has higher votes than even Tag Team in Board Game Geek. Mm-hmm. Again, this doesn't say how many people are playing, just people that are voting for it or people that are scoring it in Board Game Geek. And it is Zenith. I didn't mention the nominations.
Yes, let's go through the nominations.
So the nominations are Azul Duel, Duel for Cardia, Everdell Duo, Flamecraft Duels, Iliad, Star Trek Captain's Chair, Star Wars Battle of Hoth, Tag Team, Toy Battle, and Zenith.
Zenith was one of the picks I was considering. If you had taken Toy Battle, I would have taken Zenith.
You wouldn't have taken Tag Team at all.
No. Because I played Zenith on Board Game Arena as well. I think it works great in that context. I think it's a fun game.
See, it's sad. Like, I'm getting sad by you saying that. The way to rank games and decide which game is better is to play an app of the game, to play it online. It's like, really? Is this where our hobby is going to? Like, the way you experience the game is like by experiencing it online?
The thing is that's where you get the big numbers of people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that people don't care about the physical game anymore. I'm just saying that if you want a lot of people to experience your game, you will get that through Board Game Arena.
Yeah.
And if it's a light game, then, you know, it's going to work great in that context.
Well, I made my choice and now I'm like, damn it, that was not the right category because you would have picked Toy Battle first and then I would have been happy to pick Tag Team. So damn it, now you're probably going to pick another category where I'm like, no, he's taking the first pick. But I honestly thought that there was a high chance that you would pick Tag Team for this one. First. So
what game do you think should win?
I think tag team should win.
Yeah, I think tag team, absolutely. What an amazing game. So from these two player games, I've played Azul Duel, Duel for Cardia, Tag Team, Toy Battle, and Zenith. Tag Team, it's just the deck building of that is super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What else there is to say? We have reviewed Tag Team, right?
We have, yeah.
Yes. So, two-player game. Lewis's pick, Tag Team. Jonas's pick, Toy Battle. Now, the high confidence categories are getting fewer and fewer. So, this is... The rest of the picks are going to be much more about just, I don't know, going with guts, having to make some really tough calls. But one category where I don't want to make a tough call is, or I feel like I don't have to make a tough call, is party game. Here we have Alibis, Barbecubes, Brick Like This, La Cuenta, Hits the Rock Bob, Hot Streak, Lightspeed Arena, Magical Athlete, Take Time, and Wine Cellar. And my pick here is Hot Streak. And based on the snap of your fingers, I think I made the exact right pick.
Yep, that was going to be my choice. Do you want to say why, Jonas?
Well, a lot of people have fun with Hot Streak. It's been available. And if I just look at the rest of the games in this category, not a lot of games people are talking about or particularly excited about. There's like games that I'm like, I have not even heard about these games. Barbecubes, Brick Like This, La Cuenta, Wine Cellar, I have heard. My understanding is that Wine Cellar is not even a party game, just to start with.
Yeah, this is a category I thought, like, if we do it before the nominations, we're going to be completely off with what we consider a party game or what is there, what is not there. So for sure, indeed, Wine Cellar. I have nothing to say about Wine Cellar. All right. My pick is actually a game that I think has a high chance of beating Hot Streak as a party game. And I disagree that people have not heard about this game. I think people have compared this game quite a lot. People have mentioned good things about this. And it might be even considered more of a party game than your pick. And this is the other racing game, Magical Athlete, is going to be my pick.
Now, do you think Magical Athlete is going to beat Hot Streak?
Honestly, not. Hot Streak was my first pick, but I think there is a chance that, I don't want to give too much of my strategy, but there is a chance that Magical Athlete would win here. Now, the other one that I'm not sure is Take Time. I've heard good things about it.
Yes.
I heard that people are like liking it. It's more of a kind of party game of in the classical sense.
Yeah, but it's like a cooperative game. It feels like more like a Hanabi style party cooperative game.
It sounds more like a So Clover, for example.
No, really? But you don't do anything with words.
You don't do with words, but it's still like in that sense of cooperative, like party game. And I don't know if So Clover won, but I'm willing to bet that it was at least a runner-up on the year that it was out.
Yeah.
So because of that, I'm like, okay, should I have picked Take Time? But Magical Athlete is going to be my pick of party games.
Now, which game do you think should win the party game category?
I think Hot Streak is like a pretty good game. I'm not sure if I would consider it a party game, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's a lot of fun to play. So,
yeah, I'm feeling pretty okay about Hot Streak as a game. And before someone who really loves Hot Streak thinks that, okay, Jonas is expecting too much from Hot Streak. It's just fun. You're just shouting at the mascots that are running and it's just like fun betting. Don't think too much about it. I get the premise. Mm-hmm. I like dumb games. Magical Athlete, there was just something where I felt, well, it's not like dumb enough for me. It's a stupid game for people who don't like stupid games.
Sorry, Magical Athlete or Hot Streak?
Hot Streak. Okay. And Magical Athlete is compared to Hot Streak this year because they came from the same publisher, both racing games. My pick from these is Magical Athlete. I still think Hot Streak should win the party game because Magical Athlete, that's an older game. It's just like new art. Mm-hmm. Maybe some couple rules changes. Hot Streak, I can still appreciate the joy that it has brought to many people.
Mm-hmm.
That is party game. Jonas's pick, Hot Streak. Lewis's pick, Magical Athlete.
I'm going to go straight to light game of the year. The Nominees for this category are Duel for Cardia, Flamecraft Duels, Flip Tunes, The Hobbit, There and Back Again, Hot Streak, Magical Athlete, Railroad Tiles, Star Wars Battle of Hoth, Take Time, and Toy Battle.
Are you going to go for Star Wars Battle of Hoth?
Star Wars Battle of Hoth would not be my pick. See, I'm going to go all in my preparation. I have to admit that I did not consider any of the board game arena plays, which I think will maybe give you advantage. And then if this is, again, based on board game arena plays and you win again this year, then next year I'm going to go knees deep into board game arena research.
And stats.
It's like, how is playing them? Yeah. The trends in board game arena. I'm going to like pester all of their support team to tell them, like, hey, give me please an export of all the logs of every game. But before you said that, I thought like my first choice was Hot Streak, and I'm going to go with that. Now, after you have mentioned all of the times that Toy Battle has been played in board game arena, I'm like, should I have changed my choice to Toy Battle? No, I think Hot Streak is still better ranked in Board Game Geek. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, last year, my strategy was just to pick arcs wherever arcs was.
Yeah.
Just pick arcs. Can't go wrong with it. This year, it's Toy Battle. Whenever I have the chance to pick Toy Battle, I will pick Toy Battle.
Yes.
So for the light game of the year, I will pick Toy Battle. I have high confidence in this. Board Game Arena, people, come on.
See, I think ARX was completely the opposite, right? Like, it had the hype, even though people had not played it. It had the shut up and sit down recommendation, even though people had not played it, or even if people had played it, it had the hype. That's why it won so many things. I think, again, many people that are voting are probably not playing it. So that's something that Toy Battle doesn't have. I think you had some other picks that you based on plays on Board Game Arena. I'm not sure if that's going to be enough to fight Hot Streaks, which has the hype, for example, and the shut up and sit down recommendation. So in that sense, I hope that the hype it goes for Hot Streak.
Yeah, and it really might be that my theory about Board Game Arena will prove to be absolutely wrong when the winners come in. And then next year, I'm going to go the exact same, like exact opposite. The pendulum of my decision-making is going to swing to the other direction, and then I'm going to get burned because that year people are then going to be picking Board Game Arena favorites. Railroad Tiles was another one that I was considering a little bit as it has had its fans.
Yeah.
Duel for Cardia also, but Duel for Cardia only for Board Game Arena reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was thinking about Railroad Tiles, which is a re-implementation of Railroad Inc. I think it doesn't have the oomph either. Like it has been mentioned, but I don't think it has the backing. It doesn't have the hype. It doesn't really have much of anything, to be honest, to make it a real contender. I don't think it's going to even be a runner-up, to be honest. But who knows?
Okay, which game should win? Light game of the year.
Honestly, I think Hot Streaks. I don't consider Hot Streaks so much of a party game. Like, I mean, maybe, but I think as a light game, it's really fun. You're doing the vetting, so there's some strategy involved. So it's not just shouting at the things, which of course would make it more of a party game. But I mean, Toy Battle is a great game as well. It's a really nice light game. So I think I would, in my opinion, both of them are tied for, like, I think both of them could win and should win. Like, they're both really good games.
Yeah, Hot Streak, I think, should win Party Game. And because of that, it shouldn't win Light Game of the Year. You can't win all the categories. Toy Battle for two-player game. Oh, yeah, by the way, Tag Team. Yeah, that's my pick for the two-player game. But Toy Battle, again, yeah, well, a two-player game could win the Light Game of the Year. But it just feels like, no, let's just, like, have a different game in Light Game of the Year.
Yeah.
So I would be happy seeing some other game winning here. Although, the ones that I played, Duel for Cardia, Hot Streak, Magical Athlete, Toy Battle, I haven't played the other ones. The one that would warm my heart the most would be seeing The Hobbit There and Back Again win, which I heard is like a really fun roll and write.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised that a roll and write can be fun, but I heard The Hobbit by Rainer Knizia is actually pretty fun.
All right. So
that's
those
a fun
are,
story.
Those are your picks, or those. My pick is for Light Game of the Year's Hot Streak. Jonas' pick is Toy Battle.
Yes. And I think I have been
a fool.
No, I have not been a fool. I've just been postponing picking this category. for a while now, but I think it's time to pick thematic game. Here we have Aridia, The Paths We Dare Tread, Galactic Cruise, The Lord of the Rings, Faith of the Fellowship, Luthier, Molly House, Moon Colony, Plot Path, Nemesis, Retaliation, Speakeasy, Star Trek, Captain's Chair, Vantage. Before I make my pick, what on earth is this Aridia game? I know nothing about it. It's in so many different categories.
Yeah.
I look at the box. It looks the most boring board game box ever made. This is like generic fantasy. There's a dwarf with an axe somewhere. Probably an elf shooting a bow.
Yeah, it's I think it came out a while ago. Like, I think it's been out for a while. It was one of those, like, kind of new Gloomhavens / new Old Shores type of game where you just have a campaign and you have a story and whatnot. And I think it's quite heavy on the story. At least I saw, if I'm not mistaking it for another game, I saw a couple of reviews, but I remember it was a while back. So
yeah, but seeing this game in so many categories and knowing nothing about it makes me feel out of touch, at least for a subcategory of this hobby. My pick here is The Lord of the Rings, Faith of the Fellowship, because The Lord of the Rings fans will vote for The Lord of the Rings game. That's my reasoning for this pick.
Yeah, that was my first pick. Damn it. Honestly, I'm not sure. This is one of also the categories where I was not so sure about my second pick. I think many of these games could be considered thematic games. If you really see what won last time.
Did we actually last year discuss thematic of like, what does it even mean? Because this is one of those categories. The other one I think is very kind of like, there's a lot of room for interpretation, is the innovative.
Mm-hmm.
Thematic game, that's the other one where I'm thinking that, okay, what do we mean when we say thematic? But please go ahead.
I didn't know. I think, what does people mean with thematic? What could people mean? What, like, the theme comes out, whether or not. Yeah, I have no clue. Like, last year, SETI won. So it's just like, really? Is that really thematic? Is the theme coming through the game? And I think you made a comment last year that, yeah, it actually feels a bit thematic.
Yeah, there's like a fun toy. You spin the solar system around and you shoot the satellite. So there is a touch of theme where you really feel that, hey, I am really shooting satellites into the space.
I think, my choice was going to be The Lord of the Rings. I have considered Moon Colony. I'm going to think out loud also because you have already picked. I was considering Moon Colony Bloodbath because of this, like, hey, you're building your tableau and then you're destroying it because of the aliens gone rogue, and then the cards feel thematic, feel to the point, like you're mining, and therefore, like, because of what you're doing in the card, the fact that you are mining or farming gives you another thing to do. I'm not going to explain the rules there.
So the fact that you are thinking about what makes this game thematic, I think that's already puts you on the wrong path.
No. Could people consider it thematic? And in my opinion, it's very thematic. But this is my point. When I play it, I feel like it's thematic. So I'm considering it. But based on last year's picks, I'm not sure if people would consider this thematic, you know?
Yeah.
Like last year, I think a runner-up was The Lord of the Rings, Duel for Middle-earth. And I'm like, really? Is that thematic?
It is thematic, Louis. There's the theme is Lord of the Rings. What do you mean it's not thematic?
Yeah, but it's like, is the playing cards and having like valor or heart or whatever, is that the theme coming through the game? Come on. Like, no, it has a strong theme because it's Lord of the Rings, but the theme is not put into the implementation of the game, which I think is what should be considered thematic.
Also,
do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Although I think, even though I have not played the trick-taking game, I think I've heard plenty of people talk about it in a sense that makes me think that that actually might be a pretty thematic game, as in, like, you know.
No. You're the trick-taking game is quite thematic. The one that won is Duel for Middle-earth.
Not thematic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just
win, but it was a runner-up. SETI won.
Yes, yeah.
And then Let's Go to Japan, where you're playing cards, also was like, it's just because it was Japan. It's it's thematic. Yeah. So it's like, again, in that sense, maybe Moon Colony Bloodbath will be considered thematic just because, like, the robots are killing you and whatnot. And I would consider it thematic because I feel the theme. But anyway, That's one thing. Then you have Nemesis Retaliation, where people are like, oh, aliens in a box, super thematic.
Yeah, it's thematic, right? Lois. There's an alien.
Yeah, I know.
It's super thematic,
and
man.
That's why I'm like, okay, I think that could be considered. So that's hard for me to choose. Then there's Molly House, where you have like the theme is like really interesting and divisive, right? And then when you're playing the cards, the name of the cards, the way you play them feels also thematic in the sense like, oh, you're having a party, or the party's a dot because it's only like bad people. So again, to me, actually those things are thematic, but I don't know if people would consider them because, and I'm saying both things at the same time, which might be confusing because, but it's not as strong. It's a good theme and it feels, but it's not a flashy theme like maybe SETI or the Lord of the Rings Duel for Middle Earth. And in this year, yes, my first pick would have been obviously the Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship. However, I think I'm going to go with Nemesis Retaliation because Aliens on a Box, and this is what people will pick.
Yep, that's the wrong pick. So my pick in your situation would have been Galactic Cruise. Lois, did you learn nothing about last year's SETI?
No. Have you seen Galactic Cruise? Yes. Have you seen like the board game?
Yeah.
I mean, where's the theme there, man?
It's space. Luis, what do you mean it's not thematic? You have rockets.
Yeah, no.
Rockets.
If Galactic Cruise ends up being a runner-up, it's like, okay, yeah, well, I don't know why I'm saying this. It's probably going to end up being a runner-up.
Yes. Galactic Cruise, I think, should definitely not win the thematic game of the year, but I think it has a good chance of winning it. I was choosing between the Lord of the Rings and the Galactic Cruise.
Okay, no, I had not even considered Galactic Cruise. And I don't think it should win. I honestly consider Moon Colony Bloodbath to be thematic in that sense of like, oh, it feels like something is happening there. The Lord of the Rings is going to win. In this one, there's no question about it. I think besides the fact that it's Lord of the Rings, in this particular situation, I do think that there's some theme and the thematic aspect that we have considered or that we would consider as a thematic game is there. So
Moon Colony Bloodbath is a game I would love to see winning the thematic game. I think there's a strong mechanical link to the theme, and it really feels like this sci-fi movie where everything starts super fun.
Yeah.
It's utopia.
Yeah.
Hey, we are advancing, and then things start going really bad.
Yeah.
And it's really bad.
Yeah.
And it has this horror movie kind of feel where it's like, well, yeah, your friends are going to die, but you know, who's the last one who's going to get eaten by that robot?
Yeah, for sure.
And Molly House, of course, like, absolutely would also be happy seeing it here to win the thematic game. But, you know, I would be happier to see Molly House in the heavy game of the year. Our picks for the thematic game: Jonas, The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship; Lois, Nemesis Retaliation. Good luck with that. Let me just tell you last time, you should have picked Galactic Cruise.
No, this is not going to be that. Like, people have more sense than that.
No.
All right, I'm going to go. I didn't want to do this because I'm not certain about this pick, but I don't want to feel like you, like I felt last year where you took all of the arcs away from me. So I'm going to go with...
Are you going to go steal Toy Battle from me?
I think there's no other place where Toy Battle is.
Okay, so what are you going to steal from me?
I'm going to steal... I already chose it once. You have already chosen it once. I'm going to go with Medium Game of the Year.
Let's hear the nominees.
The nominees in Medium Game of the Year are The Druids of Edora, Eternal Dex, Finspan for Maggio, The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship, Moon Colony Bloodbath, Sanctuary, Scarabray, Vantage, and Zenith.
So before you make a pick, I will give you one piece of advice. Don't pick The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship. It's not going to win Medium Game of the Year. Don't even think about it.
All right. Well, I don't entirely disagree with that statement, but I'm going to pick The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship.
Yeah.
I can tell you more about it afterwards.
Okay. I'm picking Zenith. That's my kind of like...
Is a strong mistake, man.
Which one do you think I should have picked instead?
Finspan. I think Finspan has the wingspan, all of the Stonemaier fans there. I think people it also has a bit of the hype. I think people have said it's a better version if you're starting your board game career to pick Finspan instead of Wingspan, like mechanics are better. It's a streamlined version of Wingspan or whatever. So I think it has like kind of the name and maybe a little bit of the hype. I think Zenith has only the Board Game Arena maybe implementation, which if it if Zenith is there, then maybe you are absolutely right at Board Game Arena. This is probably the control or actually the where we can test the theory of the Board Game Arena.
Yeah, yeah. This will really put it into the test because, yeah, you make a good argument for Finspan or like, you know, good thesis in the sense that, yeah, you have an existing fan base of Wingspan players. They say Finspan is great, has had a lot of availability. Mm-hmm. And then there's Zenith with zero physical availability, to my understanding. But a lot of people are playing it on Board Game Arena.
Yeah.
So let's see which one ends up as the runner-up. You know what? Zenith, I have not given up here on the Medium Game of the Year. I won't be completely surprised if Zenith ends up taking this one.
Okay. Was the advice a joke?
Yes.
Okay. Or did you really think like, well, yeah, no, after you pick Zenith, of course it was a joke. I think Moon Colony Bloodbath might have a little chance of winning this one.
Yeah, I don't know if it has like a realistic chance. I don't know how beloved it is. Okay, we have played Trees of Edora together.
Mm-hmm.
For Machio, I have not played. I have played Fromage, the previous version of it. Moon Colony Bloodbath, we have played together. Scarabre, I have played. And then Zenith. Now, which one do you think should win Medium Game of the Year?
I have not played many of them, so I wish Moon Colony Bloodbath won.
Yeah, I already kind of picked Moon Colony Bloodbath for the thematic, and I'm going to be honest with you. This Medium Game of the Year, Heavy Game of the Year, I saw Molly House there. And I was like, yes, there was like a great game that I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. A game I loved. But then Light Game of the Year, Medium Game of the Year, I kind of looked at them and it was like, well, was this really the best of last year? And Medium Game of the Year, I'm not really fired up of any of these. Whatever wins, what doesn't end up winning, couldn't really care less.
Mm.
Yeah. And probably every game here has the same credits or like, what is that? The same claim?
Yeah.
For victory. Yeah. So Medium Game of the Year, Luis, The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship, me, Zenith. Okay, I will go for expansion.
No! Oh, no.
So in expansion, we have Casa Combo out of the Oubliette. You speak French, my friend. Tell me how to pronounce Oubliette.
I think Oubliette.
Okay. Clank Catacombs Underworld, Dune Imperium Bloodlines, Earth Abundance, Heat Tunnel Vision, The Lord of the Rings Duel for Middle Earth Allies, Lost Ruins of Arnak, Twisted Paths, Sea Salt and Paper, Extra Pepper, SETI Space Agencies, Wingspan Dragon Academy. I don't know about any of these expansions at all. I don't know which expansions are beloved, but I do know that SETI is a very popular game. And when SETI came out, people were saying, when is the expansion going to come out? When we get more aliens and whatnots? So because of this, I'm going to pick SETI Space Agencies.
That was a mistake.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think one of the first categories that you take from me that I'm not super unhappy. I think Dune Imperium Bloodlines will win.
What? Really?
Yeah, Dune Imperium is super beloved.
Yeah, but, you know, isn't it like all about Uprising?
Yeah, but like I think Bloodlines is compatible with Uprising.
Ah.
At least that's how I understand it. I also don't know much about these expansions, but I feel, and I might be completely wrong about this, that SETI had its momentum last year and then it crashed and burned. So I don't think a lot of people will be voting for this expansion, to be honest. So I had considered Dune Imperium was my top choice, which I'm happy you didn't take it. Then Heat, Tunnel Vision, just because Heat has had good success with the expansion. So I felt that this was, I think this is the second expansion of Heat. So the first expansion was well mentioned. And then The Lord of the Rings, just because it's the Lord of the Rings. But honestly, the expansion was just like a little, like a set of cards, very small. So I'm like, it's because of Lord of the Rings, but it's just so small of an expansion that I don't think it's going to be considered. So if this wins, it's just like, we know that The Lord of the Rings wins everything.
The other game I was thinking about was Lost Ruins of Arnak, Twisted Paths. Mm-hmm. And the duel for Middle Earth, I knew that it was like a small pack of cards, so mm-hmm. that's not going to get people excited. The reason why I didn't pick or even consider Dune Imperium Bloodlines is because my impression with the Dune Imperium, you know, category of games is that people are kind of like getting a bit too confused about all these Dune Imperiums. Way too much Dune Imperium this way, Dune Imperium that. But I might be completely wrong here. Mm-hmm. It might be that Bloodlines was exactly what people wanted. Let's see.
Let's see.
And I can tell you, since I haven't played any of these expansions, I can't really tell anything about which expansion should win here.
Yeah. So there's another expansion, another two expansions for Heat, by the way. I'm just checking. The first one was Heavy Rain in 2024, and there's two more coming. But yeah, this Tunnel Vision is the second expansion from Heat. I just wanted to check that out. I don't know why, but more information for our listeners. That was a good category. You took, I think, the last category where I, like, quote-unquote, certain of what I wanted to pick. I think I'm not certain of anything, but still. Yeah.
Let's do a recap. So, Expansion, Jonas, SETI, Space Agencies, Louis, Dune Imperium, Bloodlines.
Yes.
We have two categories left. Innovative and Solo Game. Which one are you going to pick?
Okay, what is it? Innovative is another one, as you mentioned, one of those, like, what do people consider innovative? What does innovative really mean? Last year, innovative was ARCs. So I am picking innovative. Last year, innovative was ARCs, and then runners up were Fromage and SETI. And I'm like, did those games really have innovative mechanics? Like,
yeah, well, the Fromage had the spinning wheel, so that you could say.
Yeah.
SETI, thematic, I'm kind of like, yeah, sure. Innovative?
Zero.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like it has a lot of cards. And ARCs is like, oh, it combines a 4X game with like a trick-taking game, which was not a really trick-taking game. I guess. So
yeah.
Still, like, you never know what people will be considering innovative, but I know what my choice will be. My choice is going to be Eternal Dex.
Eternal Dex.
Yes.
And why do you pick Eternal Dex? Hey, list out the nominees.
List out the nominees. Oh, no. Luis, what are you doing? What are you doing? The nominees for innovative, sorry, I lost the page. Innovative are Aridia, The Paths with Their Tread, that game that Jonas has no knowledge about. Corpse of Discovery, colon, blah, blah, blah. Eternal Dex, Hot Streak, Lightspeed Arena, Molly House, Moon Colony Bloodbath, The Old King's Crown, Tag Team, and Vantage. I already chose Eternal Dex. I'm not going to change my choice. I consider that from what I heard about this game, it sounds like it's a cooperative game where you have some card movement restrictions that has like different kind of difficulties and different restrictions that you have to play cards. It sounds like a weird game, like a weird game to play. It sounds like it's innovative. It feels like it's what people will consider innovative, and if they haven't played it, so it feels like what people will vote for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going with that.
Yeah, my pick here is Tag Team. I don't know. Here I'm going with my heart.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going with my heart. And none of these games are super popular either. If I had seen The Lord of the Rings, Faith of the Fellowship here in the innovative, I would have picked that game.
Yeah.
Even though it's like a re-implementation of Pandemic, don't care.
Don't care.
People
it's the Lord
don't
of the
care.
Rings. People yeah. don't care.
It's innovative, man. It's Lord of the Rings. It's
in Pandemic.
Yeah.
Who has combined Pandemic with Lord of the Rings before? Nobody.
Yeah. So the way I kind of like think innovative is that I need the game to scream to me saying like, hey, here is a mechanic that's new or a mechanic that's now solved. As in, hey, when the first time you play it, you think, why didn't anyone do this game before? Or, wow, even if the game is not perfect, I want to see this in many other games. Or, wow, this feels like a game that starts a new small category of new games.
See, I had Tag Team as my fourth pick of what I really believe is innovative. Because, the auto battle, I do agree with you with like, hey, the way this solves the auto battler, the card placement and how they come out, that feels fresh, definitely. But it's just like, it's also an auto battle. You're just picking cards. Yes, you're choosing where to put them. But so that feels that I felt that maybe A, I don't consider that innovative. And B, people might not consider that innovative. Feels like challengers in a way, for example. It has been done before. I considered, obviously, Eternal decks more innovative, or from what I understand of Eternal decks. Moon Calling and Bloodbath is another one that I'm like, okay, yes. Engine destroying is what might drive people. And I also feel like...
The engine destroying. You know what? I think Moon Calling and Bloodbath also could win here.
Yeah.
Or like, I would be happy seeing Moon Calling and Bloodbath winning here. But the mechanic that's innovative for me is the central deck that you build together with all the players.
For sure. That's the other thing I was going to say. Like the engine destroying central deck, that feels innovative. I'm not sure if people will pick it as innovative, but to me, I felt that was like really innovative. And then Molly House also felt innovative in a way, like the way you play the cards to the center of the table.
Yeah, true. Like the central play is like innovative, but with Molly House, the design ethos of Molly House feels more like, hey, let's prove that some of mechanics such as roll and movement can be kind of like put into like a really nice, great framework, or put roll and movement into a game where you usually have not necessarily seen roll and movement in.
Yeah.
And then combine it with the central, almost co-op poker-like play in the middle. But again, it feels like you're just like picking things to putting it into this one new experience. I agree. Could be considered innovative. Just... like, it's just whatever, you know, meaning you kind of like assign to innovative here.
I honestly feel this innovative category this year actually had more innovative candidates. Like, I do consider like, hey, those, like as you said, feel like they solve something.
Yeah.
They feel interesting versus last year's innovative. When I had to pick innovative, it felt like, are these really innovative? Yeah. So in that sense, I'm kind of thinking, is this the toughest category? Like, is this the category that will have the most competition? It'll be interesting to see the actual numbers, but well, we don't have access to that. So let's see what actually ends up winning. I really hope it's Eternal Dex, which is what I picked. And Jonas picked Tag Team for this one.
Yes. So I'm left with one category, solo game. Here we have The Anarchy, Aridia, The Paths with Their Tread, Corpse of Discovery, a game set in the world of Manifest Destiny, Deckers, The Elder Scrolls, Betrayal of the Second Era, The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship, Skara Prey, Star Trek Captain's Chair, Unstoppable, Vantage. And now I have to go into my notes to see what on earth did I think would win here. A game that we have seen in many categories. And no picks yet. Haven't even discussed it at all.
Mm-hmm.
My pick for solo game is Vantage. Now, I know there's a lot of Vantage fans out there. If you look at Vantage best player count on BGG, it says best at one or two players. It's like ideal for solo gaming. Yeah, that's what I'm basing my decision on.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Honestly, I'm going to go with my guts here, which might be completely wrong, but I'm going to go in... this one, I don't know. I'm going to go with The Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, that was tempting as well.
Yeah. I honestly feel like my top ones were Aridia and The Elder Scrolls. And this was with a weird extrapolation of what I did from last year's picks. Last year, the winner was Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
But the runner-up was... Gloomhaven, Buttons and Bugs. So a Gloomhaven, a dungeon crawler. And then the second runner-up was Imperium Horizons, which is like, okay, so these are games that people really like to play solo, it feels.
Yeah.
So to me, it feels like, okay, I don't think Vantage is like one, like it falls into that category. It might be.
I mean, people say it's best at solo.
But then it might be two. It might be one or two. And they might be meaning two. So it feels that it's outside this category.
Yeah.
Like people might want to play it. This is a game that people might not play, or at least it's not on the same realm of those that won last year, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I might be completely off. So in that sense, I feel like Aridia and The Elder Scrolls fall more into this category. Of course, The Lord of the Rings is there, so people might just pick that one. But I hope that The Elder Scrolls is the winner. And just because it feels a bit more solid than Aridia.
Yeah. Here, I feel like I have trust in people picking the solo game that they think it works as a solo. That they're not just picking that, well, I like this game, I own it, I haven't played it at solo, but I can imagine it to play well at solo. I'm not imagining that to happen. I really have trust here that people are really picking great solo experiences. Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit based on last year's winners. Although last year's winner was Slay the Spire, which people say they play solo.
Play the app.
Yeah, I'm like, are you though? Are you though playing the board game as solo? Are you not just playing the app?
Uh-huh.
And then telling me that you have reduced your screen time and you're not playing app anymore. You're playing the board game. But are you really?
Yeah.
Maybe you're just playing the app.
Yeah, that's what I think. Ah, this is tough. But it actually, I felt more prepared of my picks when I didn't have to fight to, or when you haven't told me all of this information. So I really enjoyed this conversation way more than last year. So looking forward to next year already and winning this time.
Yes. So solo game picks: Vantage for Jonas, The Elder Scrolls Betrayal at Second Era. The Elder Scrolls Betrayal of the Second Era.
Off the second era.
Yeah, not at the not second at. Era. Completely different things for Luis. Just as a quick recap, here are our picks. Two-player game, Luis, Tag Team, Jonas, Toy Battle. Artwork and presentation, Luis, The Old King's Crown, Jonas, Luthier. Cooperative game, Luis, The Lord of the Rings, Faith of the Fellowship, Jonas, Vantage. Expansion, Luis, Dune Imperium, Bloodlines, Jonas, Seti, Space Agencies. Innovative, Luis, Eternal Dex, Jonas, Tag Team. Light Game of the Year, Luis, Hot Streak, Jonas, Toy Battle. Medium Game of the Year, Luis, The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship, Jonas, Zenith. Heavy Game of the Year, Luis, Speak Easy, Jonas, Galactic Cruise. Party Game, Luis, Magical Athlete, Jonas, Hot Streak. Solo Game, Luis, The Elder Scrolls, Betrayal of the Second Era, Jonas, Vantage. Thematic Game, Luis, Nemesis Retaliation, Jonas, The Lord of the Rings, Fate of the Fellowship. War Game, Luis, Star Wars Battle of Hoth, Jonas, Toy Battle. That's it. We want to thank you for your time. Our next episode airs in 2 weeks. In the meantime, you can visit boardgameokay.com for more information about the show.
Bye-bye, okay.